Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 101 in that specific summer time. Well, today we had a number of different events in the markets, and particularly in Japan this morning, where the Nikkei fell 3.4% as a result of that earthquake that they had, and the fact that that was a much larger one than the big one that we had last week. So that was really just a pre-shake. But it did damage some of the infrastructure, especially for companies like Toyota. So you had this pullback in the markets. But with the rebound that you had in Europe and in the USA subsequently, then the market has recouped most of it in the futures trading. So, in fact, it's only down about 1% if you look at the futures market in here right now. Well, the Chinese market was a little bit weaker, so was the Hang Seng. But all of those were feeding through from the result of what happened in Doha over the weekend. And there was this intransigence between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So that was not wholly unexpected here. But the reaction of the market is perhaps more surprising. In early trading, the majority of these markets were down, but they recouped their entire decline and finished on the upside. And in quite positive territory for the vast majority of shares. And then the same thing with the Dow and the S&P right now. So they're both up about 0.2%. And closing in on the 2100 level for the S&P, it's at 2094. And as I mentioned in the audio on Friday, the market has rallied for 9 weeks. Well, 7 of the last 9 weeks, but those 2 weeks that it was down were pretty paltry. And there are overbought conditions evident on just about all of these indices right now. And when I do a click through, and I do a click through every morning, and I look at just about every country stock market index, then there aren't any that are making new lows right now. Even when you look at some of those Middle Eastern markets and some of the resources markets that had fallen, and had really and a number of the emerging markets that had been in quite difficult situations 3 or 4 months ago, then they've all staged pretty impressive rallies here. So then when you look at all of the arguments that there are, and I'm posting a lot of charts and comment of the day today. So and a number of them I haven't posted in quite a while. So for example, the total margin debt has probably peaked for this cycle, and that's certainly important. And there was an email today asking about the amount of short interest that there is out there. Well, when you look at it in absolute terms, short interest is at pretty close to the high that it was in 2008. But you simply can't look at that figure, because when you look at it relative to the wider market cap, well, that's a much more important figure, because the market cap of the market has increased really quite considerably. So when you have, you really should look at it as a percentage, short interest as a percentage of the total market cap. And yes, it has increased, but not nearly to the same extent as we were in 2008. And that's by far the more important lesson here. And that also gels with the kind of environment that we're presented with in stock markets generally. Then there is another important chart here, and it's one that I haven't looked at in a while, but it is the number of shares that are trading above their respective 200-day moving averages. And it had been trending lower between 2013 and January of this year, and it had got down to about 20%, which is around the same level that it was at the bottom in 2011, and not that far above where we were in 2008 either. But it took 2 years to get down there, and that represented this narrowing or loss of breath in the market that we had commented on so often. Since then, in tandem with this rebound that we've had on stock markets, the number of shares trading above their respective 200-day moving averages is now around 60%. So this has been a pretty broad-based rebound, and that's really very encouraging. But then you have to look at where are we in the stock market. We've been ranging for over a year. In fact, it's about 18 months. And in a rangy environment, then you can anticipate that prices will go both above and below the MA. But because we've had this broad-based rally, and much more broad-based than any of the rallies that we've had in the last year and a half, that's That's really quite encouraging, and it really does lend credence to the base case that both David and I have been talking about, and that is that we're more likely to range than to have a very significant pullback here. So then if the sort of a rangy environment is perhaps the base case, and we're potentially towards the upper side of that range right now, then when you go back and look at that chart of the number of shares trading above their MA, then we've very, very seldom got above 80% of those shares. So we're now around 60. We're well on the way to the upper side of that range. And there are short-term overbought conditions evident. So yeah, maybe we go for 10 weeks on the upside, or maybe we go for 11. But then we really are going to be right at the upper side of the range. And then there are these really quite overextended short-term overbought conditions. So this isn't the most advantageous time for initiating long positions, and rather than this is more of a cautious period. And in the commodity complex today, with those results out of Doha, the oil price was pretty volatile, and then was actually only down 9 cents on Brent crude, and there was a $3 range on the day for WTI. But this is considering that I guess a lot of people would have had shorts in the market, in really coming into what was going to be a pivotal event, and then they've definitely had some of those shorts had to be covered in here. Well, without an agreement, then the you have to go back and think, well, what was the agreement going to be in the first place? It was going to be to cap record production at a record high. And you have to really ask the question, what kind of ability do they have to increase production very much beyond where it is already? Perhaps the more important question is, to what extent is our prices today a tailwind or a headwind to unconventional oil and gas production in the US? That really is the big swing producer right now, because they are purely contingent on what happens to the price, and there isn't a great deal of government intervention that's going to have an effect one way or the other. So, and we're probably not yet at a price where that unconventional oil and gas is going to start drilling again, but we're probably not that far away from it either. And if you just discount all of those prognostications, then you look at the price chart, and we've had this very impressive reversionary rally, and prices are right now in the region of the 200-day moving average. So we could have some consolidation here, but you'd have to break the progression of higher reaction lows, and right now that's at today's intraday low before you could really conclude that this is anything other than a short-term consolidation within what has been a pretty consistent move over the last 2 months, and reactions have been limited to between $6 and $7, and above all else, you'd have to have something larger than that to confirm more than temporary resistance in the current region, and that's generally positive for the energy sector right across the board, but it's also positive for commodities generally, because low energy prices help a lot of very marginal production to remain in the market. And if oil prices are bottoming and have rallied considerably, then what we've had is a 60% jump in the cost of energy for mining operations this year. And because energy represents such an enormous cost for mining operations, then that's going to put pressure on some of these very marginal producers. So then we have to not just look at what has happened, but what is likely to happen. And what's likely to happen is that some of this supply is going to get taken out of the market. Well, that's what prices are now responding to. Now, copper today was a little bit firmer, but copper has got more work to do than some of those other commodities. Whereas when you look at tin and lead and zinc, well, then they look much firmer. And nickel is also has got really quite positive attributes in here right now. And then when you start looking at some of the shares, well, they're not spending any of their free cash flow right now on building anything new unless they've already committed to it and are well on the way to trying to get it complete. But there is no greenfield sites being started out right now. And you know, that means then that we're going to have a situation in a few years' time where the ability to increase supply in very short order is going to be inhibited. And that's not a consideration right now. What's a consideration right now is that companies will have more free cash flow because they're not spending it on expansion. And that's a problem that they had for much of the last few years. And that contributed to their pullback. And now that that has changed, then they're probably going to start offering leverage to the commodity prices in much the same way that the gold miners are offering leverage to the gold price. That's also helping to stoke investor interest. So while we do have this rangy environment overall on stock markets, it's the basic resources sector and the energy sector that is rallying really very impressively here. But when we concentrate on commodities, it's also worth pointing out here that sugar had a very good day today. So did coffee. So did cotton. And rough rice is testing its progression of lower rally highs. And so that would suggest that this is a broad-based move. And the dollar was not particularly strong in here today. In fact, it was down against just about everything. And the pound, having been one of the weakest currencies around, was a bit firmer. It was up 73 ticks in here today. And the Australian dollar continues to extend its breakout. And it's exhibiting relative strength right now against the New Zealand dollar. But the New Zealand dollar is testing the upper side of what's it's a base formation for about the last year. And a clear downward dynamic would really be required to question the potential for that currency to break out here. And the New Zealand stock market at the present moment is probably one of the best performing stock markets in the world. So that's going to start attracting additional investor interest. Well, then when we look around, and yes, there are short-term overbought conditions, then there's nothing breaking down. And until we see something like that, there isn't going to be an awful lot of credibility for the very bearish arguments that have been forwarded. And I continue to receive incredibly bearish reports. And generally speaking, that's good news. It's generally when people are incredibly bullish that one has to be very worried. So that also contributes to the base case that we're in this rangy environment. And with things generally starting to improve, and another thing that we can conclude from the fact that resources are beginning to rally once more and the commodities are beginning to turn the corner, is that economic conditions may be a bit better than people anticipate, that economic statistics generally do not lead the market. It's rather the other way around. So if commodities are turning the corner, then perhaps the US and the European economies are a bit stronger than people anticipate, and that the emerging markets, having benefited enormously from the in terms of their competitiveness from the devaluations of their currencies, could be in a much better position economically going forward. So then the potential for interest rates to begin to rise with the US leading the way remains very much the base case. And yields right now are really very low. They hit a low around 1.5% on the US Treasury in February and have bounced from that region, well, just above that region, in here this week. All right. So, against that kind of background, it's very difficult to make a credible reason for why you would have a very bullish outcome for bonds. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.